How are music therapists changing the lives of people in Canada?
What is the latest research and trends?
You are tuned into the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast,
and we will explore these questions with our guest today.
Let's get started.
Welcome to the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast. We are your hosts, Adrian and Kathy. On today's show, we have Ruth Roberts speaking with us about her extensive career in music therapy. Ruth tells us how she started in the profession, some of her experiences, along with her strategies for sustaining herself over her career. Ruth also shares her current focus and words of wisdom with our music therapy community.
And here's a little more about Ruth. Following her undergraduate studies, Ruth attained a Master's of Music Therapy from Wilfrid Laurier University in 2003, and she has worked as a music therapist for 25 years. She retired from Sick Kids Hospital last year after 22 plus years and currently maintains a small private practice. She is a fellow of the Association of Music and Imagery. She's an assistant trainer with Eastern Canada Guided Imagery and Music, which is led by Guylaine Valancourt, and she has a small private GIM practice.
Welcome to the podcast, Ruth. We're excited to have you here from Millbrook, Ontario today.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be part of this, share some of my work with you.
Awesome. Well, let's dig in. So first, I want to ask you about what led you to become a music therapist.
Well, I took kind of a long route to becoming a music therapist, but I'll just start with saying that I grew up in a home where music was very important, and we had a lot of music in our church and in our community and in our home. And I did study piano. My siblings did as well. But I pursued a career as an RN, and I worked in various provinces and in California with people of many different cultures, Hispanic and Black and Indigenous people, which I enjoyed very much, the cultural diversity. But I was ready then to do something else, so I decided to study music. And a quick story as to how I was really piqued, my interest in music therapy was piqued. I did an undergrad at Laurier, and in the summers I would go back to Winnipeg and work as an RN. And one of these summers I worked with a young woman who was dying of a brain tumor. I had cared for her the year before in delivering her baby, but music was very important to her. And this is dating me, or dating this story, but she wore her Walkman and wore her headset everywhere. And she asked her family to make sure that she could continue to listen to her favorite music when she was no longer able to do it for herself. And they did so. And I cared for her the night that she died. And that to have the music present with her was very impactful and piqued my interest in the value of it and the power of music to maintain that kind of connection. And it served as a real resource at the end of her life and to really bring comfort to the family. So the undergrad program at WLU was in music therapy, was just getting started. And I didn't really get into it until several years later. And that was 25 years ago. Mm. And after the undergrad, I completed a master's in the first graduating class in 2003.
Nice.
That's what brought me to the profession.
Wow. What an interesting story. And just seeing that value firsthand of music and how influential it was in your client patient's life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes, I definitely remember that for sure.
And so I'd love to hear some more experiences that you've had over the course of your career.
My work has been primarily with children at Sick Kids Hospital. And I also did some work I still continue to do work with elderly people and a couple of other things along the way. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the work at Sick Kids, because it was initiated in 1999. And it really came about by the interest and motivation of a group called Families of Children with Cancer. They were familiar with the work from a conference they had attended in the States and worked directly with the foundation over several years to develop some funding to initiate it. Another music therapist did a pilot study, and that showed favorable results. So the hospital created a three-day-a-week position in oncology. So I really only served oncology patients for many years. And those initial years really involved being the person for music therapy when it came to advocacy, securing funds, public relations, clinical work, and trying to promote the profession within the hospital. I did have a couple of interns along the way to try and introduce the service into other areas with the hopes of securing more funding. I also initiated work in palliative care at that time, and there were no hospital inpatient beds, but I did home visits. An endowment fund was eventually established, and through some generous donations, we were able to hire a second therapist after 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and when I left, there were three full-time positions, so very grateful for that. The actual experience at SickKids afforded me many, many rich opportunities. And in terms of diversity, I recall a young Japanese family, the parent and child, who traveled to Canada for life-saving treatment, and they couldn't speak any English, but we shared communication through their love of Bach. And I've marveled at the rhythms on a drum from an Afghani father, Syrian lullabies from a grieving mother, chants from China, children's songs in a nuktuk-tuk. So being able to be present in music with all in all these different ways really showed the power of it to transcend verbal language or verbal communication. I do have many experiences and stories, and I'm happy to share some of those now if that would be appropriate.
Sure, we'd love to hear.
Okay. So in oncology, I supported families and children going through various stages of treatment, from their diagnosis, could be through lengthy chemo or radiation, through complications, and sometimes at end of life. And music was really an ally for the kids. I remember one mom saying, "I knew when he spent time with you, he could just be a little boy again," that kind of thing. And kids often wrote stories or improvised, and from then it would glean what was really going on for them. Like, "I don't want to lose my hair," or "I don't want to be here." And I'm thinking of a young teen that I met early on in my work there. And she was a promising athlete in school, and sadly developed a very serious carcinoma. Was bedridden, just facing her teen years in that state. She didn't want music interaction other than she allowed me just to be with her. And I introduced some gentle guitar, and that was okay. And then one day she started sharing some of her feelings, and we put it into eventually into a form of a poem, which became a bit of a rap that I'd like to share with you. It's called "Life Sucks." There's buzzing and beeping. I'm stuck in this bed. Tubes in my stomach. That's how I get fed. I feel like puking. Life sucks. I've had 4 biopsies. Now I'm afraid. Where is life leading? What's up ahead? I'm scared of living. I'm scared of dying. Life sucks. That was her reality.
Yeah.
Pretty potent and powerful expression. The staff actually all joined together to sing a birthday song for her with words that I had replaced to her favorite song. So the music was just able to be present and followed people on their path wherever that would lead.
Wow, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. That's amazing that she could articulate how she was feeling and felt safe enough to do that with you.
Mm-hmm. I do have some more stories if that would be appropriate. This one is about a little girl who I worked with over quite a long time and came to the point that she was no longer going to live. And I saw her in her home for the last time. She actually had defied predictions and lived longer than anticipated, but she was very weak and but still calling the shots and interacting with her beloved brother and sister, albeit in whispers, and she made it clear that she wanted to do them to do a song for her. She didn't want anything to do with me, really didn't want. Yeah, it was it was about her and them. But she wanted us to practice and come back and perform. And that's, of course, what these kids all did together, right? So we rehearsed. I know initially we sang a song that she had taught me. No, that wasn't what she wanted. She wanted this made up song. And when we asked her what she wanted it to be about rainbows, rivers, and birds. Mm. And so her siblings wrote it. I'm not going to sing it, but I'll share the poetry of it. And it goes, when we think of rainbows, we think of bow ties, rain, and sun. Beautiful colors and a pot of gold. All the colors are fun. When we think of rivers, we think of watching the river flow. Water rushing to the sea, that's what everyone knows. And when we think of birds, we think of gliding, flying so high. Small or big, singing beautiful songs, free and happy in the sky. Rainbows, birds, and rivers, they make everyone sing. Rainbows, birds, and rivers, all such wonderful things. So she was happy with that. Song had a life of its own because it turned out to be the song that her mother asked me to teach her class at school, her music teacher, not her class, her teacher, and they sang it and performed it at her memorial for their private school. Wow. So you never know the impact and how things mm-hmm. will have their own power.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's so powerful. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. interesting how she intuitively knew to ask others to create the song, her siblings. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was so typical of kids. You know, she knew what she wanted it to be about. Mm-hmm. I think she didn't have the strength to do that, but she trusted them. And I loved it because when I sang it with them, I mean, I was basically looking at this child who was very weak and ill, and I sang it kind of what I would consider appropriately. When they sang it, they got the drums out. They got the beat going. You know, I just love that. I was like, yes. Yeah. So wow. There's life. There's life there still.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Incredible mm-hmm. stories that you're sharing with us today. Wow. I'm sure you have thousands more, you know, over the course of your career as a nurse, you know, as a music therapist. And
yeah. Wow. Yeah. I'd like to talk about a little bit of the work in neonatal intensive care. I'm remembering this one family. I only had one session with them. This is the thing. Sometimes you could have a whole relationship, and sometimes it was 15 minutes, or sometimes, in this case, it was one session. This family, this woman had come from Africa to her sister's bridal shower in Canada and went into premature labor and had twins. And one of them was not going to survive. So here she was, a long way from home, a long way from her husband, with her infant. And it was just the most beautiful setting and scene, because all I did was introduce the option for music, a little bit of guitar and singing, and her sisters around that crib. It was just like the from them and lifted and wove between them. And I added harmony and they added kalimbas and drums. And it was a wonderful blessing for mom and this baby who they were needing to say goodbye to. And there are others. They weren't all sad stories. I worked with one little guy who, honestly, he was so tiny when he was born, he couldn't be held, but his mom would just be close to him and the music would kind of serve as a blanket for him. And then he grew to be her being able to hold him. And so she had lots of chances for that and singing to him in the music. And then he was able to develop where he was able to reach out. And she said, I want him to get to know the world. I want him to explore. And so the wind chimes were great for that. You know, his little hands could just read. And you think of texture and temperature and sound. It's all a wonderful way to introduce life to him. That came to mind. And one more from NICU, but this is just one of those things that happened. I had worked with this little guy. He was in because he needed to gain weight, toddler. Usually his dad was there because Mom was busy at home, you know, caring for other kids. But this time it was Mom, and she was really quite frazzled. She was trying to console him, a little bit reluctant that I showed up, but immediately responded when she heard the guitar. And before long, she started to want to sing, and she asked for songs, which drew her to tears. And later she said that was a song that she and her dad had danced to at her wedding, and he had recently passed away. And another song of significance. So Mom was engaged in this music, and literally it really helped with her emotional regulation, which eased the child's regulation. And that was just a one-time 10-15 minute interaction, you know, but impactful. I know I'm going on, but I want to share one more about a nursing home experience, because I worked as an RN in the nursing home for years before I became a music therapist, and I love working with elderly people, and I still do. And this is a story of the impact on one gentleman. I did groups, I did individuals, and this day I was out on the deck because any chance I could get outside to bring the warmth and beauty of nature and as part of it, I would do that, which wasn't very often. But so in this case, I had a few people outside, and the support worker brought another gentleman to us very tentatively because he was capable of a lot of frustration and resulting in sort of major outbursts. And he had been doing that earlier in the day. He, you know, tried to yell and tried to lift his skinny frame out of the wheelchair, and the seat alarm would go off, and that would add to the mayhem. So I wondered, what is he trying to escape from beside the chair? You know, where is he trying to get to? We don't know these things. But he joined us, and he wheeled around fairly aggressively initially, but his eyes were, you know, frantic and looking for action. But they stopped when they reached me and the guitar and the sound, and he listened, and he listened, and he listened, and he looked somewhere else for a while. His face was vacant, and soon the tension in his face eased, and he looked at me, and I nodded and smiled, and I could see that he was coming back to part of himself. I could see that in his eyes, even though cataracts were clouding the edge of his vision. And eventually he said clearly, motioning to someone else, "She's enjoying it." And then he listened more, and once in a while he would bang a rhythm on his chair, and it synced with mine, sometimes temporarily, and he offered a smile. "That's nice." And then I learned it was his birthday, so I said I'd just found that out and asked if it was okay for us to sing, and he said, "Go ahead." So everybody sang happy birthday, and you know, he just said, "Wow, wow." And when it was time to leave, he was a different person. You know, as I said, he'd come back to part of himself, and he was calm and quiet with the music and with me. And as I shook his hand, he looked me squarely in the eye, and he said in a thick European accent, "God bless you." And I had written here, yes, he already has. She already has. So those are some of the many stories of some of the work. I also worked with teens in a grief support group, and we mostly focused on music listening and examining the lyrics and sharing the impact of that. But that's a lot, but some of the stories.
Ruth, thank you for just giving us a taste of all of the very important work you have done over your 25 years. And
you're welcome.
You have me in tears, so I'll let everybody hear that. And you have me laughing.
Yes, well, yes. That's what it's about, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah.
And it's everything.
Yeah,
it's the joy, it's the sorrow, it's the light, it's the dark, it's the beauty, it's the pain, it's all of it. Yes.
So tell us then how you, like, what has been important for you in sustaining yourself throughout all of this work, through your career?
Thank you for asking. And really, there's been many things, but I would have to say As you know, and initially, anyway, for a lot of us as music therapists going into situations, the work itself can be isolating. And so I relied heavily on my colleagues in the profession. I didn't have colleagues in the hospital, but I became involved provincially and through the national organization, and it was so enriching to me personally and professionally. And I love Canada. I love our diversity. And it gave opportunity to meet and connect with people across the country. And I have to say, in addition, I've been really fortunate to stay closely connected with a group of wonderful women who did the master's with me. And we're celebrating 20 years this year. We've supported each other, and I've watched each woman continue to grow and give to this profession. It's been such a privilege and gift to me. And personally, I do love to invest time in nature and receive her many gifts. I've tended to a spiritual practice of meditation and centering prayer. I like to write and to journal, and I have just a few words. A couple of years ago, a girl that I had worked with for several years had passed away, so it's important to honor that, you know, and to pay attention to my own grief. And so I went for a long walk here, and I wrote this: the wind swept me along the country roads, beside hills and fields bursting with spring green. Cardinals, blackbirds, geese, and robins sang along the way, and a wonderful big eagle hovered in overhead, held by the strength of his wings against the wind. And I felt like it was telling me her spirit was free. I offered her up with a mixed heart, sorrow for her suffering, sadness for her shortened life and her family's loss, deep gratitude for the countless memories I have of her over the years, but mostly I felt great relief to know that her wild and wonderful and precious spirit is now free and flying. Her little body just couldn't house it any longer. She will never leave my heart. So these are some of the ways that I took care of myself. And professionally, I also strive to welcome additional opportunities that came. Opportunities to supervise students, teach a couple of university courses, done a little bit of editing for our national journal, and presented at conferences. So all of these ways were to challenge and enrich myself along the way.
Beautiful ways of taking care of all the parts of yourself. And you have such a gift with your words, Ruth.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful for them, because next to music, I think the arts, you know, poetry, art, movement, all help us express what things are sometimes beyond words. Imagery.
In our last few minutes together, can you tell us what you're focusing on now? And if you have any words for our music therapy community?
Thank you. Yes. So now I've been semi-retired for a year and adjusting to that. And I do maintain a part-time music therapy practice in nursing homes. And I also am a therapist in guided imagery and music. And I'll just briefly review what that is. I've followed the definition basically that's been given, but it's a music-centered approach to deep inner work and therapy. It uses selected sequences of pre-recorded and programmed classical music to generate imagery through which a person moves through their inner experience. So in GIM, the music serves as a catalyst and a container for the imagery, and it allows a person to access and explore depths and heights of human experience. So in this way, it's primarily transformative. So I've had the opportunity to study and to work now in that work. I'm an assistant facilitator in the training program offered by the Eastern Canada GIM with Dr. Ghislaine Feincourt and Dr. Laurel Young. And I offer some private sessions online. And I'm also beginning to offer online supervision for for music therapists currently in practice. And I do hope to gather my stories and share them in some meaningful way with the greater community. In terms of words for people, I would just like to encourage everybody in your work. It's really important work. It's powerful and necessary to focus on keeping your own music alive and developing it, and to really realize the gift of each encounter with the people that you serve. Each shared music experience is a taste of the sacred. It's filled with poignancy, laughter, silliness, pain, whatever it is, it's the stuff of life. And so find it and celebrate that in the midst of the pain. And feel proud of what you're doing, because it's making a difference, no matter how fleeting it may seem. And when I think of fleeting, some of the moments have been fleeting, and it reminds me of words from a poem that I love by Wordsworth, and it talks about kissing the joy. So I'd like to share those in closing. And I've taken the opportunity to change the pronoun he to she. So it goes, she who binds to herself a joy doth the winged life destroy. She who kisses the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise.
Thank you, Ruth, for sharing your important work with everyone. We are grateful.
Thank you for joining us on the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast.
To learn more about resources from the show, please visit beyondthestudio.ca.
Thanks for listening.